Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Oh, D'Anthony.
Yeah.
D'Anthony Holloway. My man.
I'm super excited.
My dude.
I'll tell you why.
My bro. Go ahead. Fire away. Because of these All-American Rip It energy drinks?
Yeah. So we went to like Family Dollar or some shit.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a place.
Welcome to North Carolina.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And yeah. I guess that's the welcoming committee. This place, it smelled like my grandma's house.
Yeah. Well, that's a Family Dollar for you.
Yeah.
That's why they call it Family Dollar. It's that $1 that everybody's family has that's stuffed in between the crack of a couch, and then you pull it out, and it smells like ham.
Mm. So, well, you're not a big fan of ham.
I fucking hate ham.
I don't know why, though. That's a weird thing to hate.
Not a ham guy.
Are you secretly, like, Muslim or something? Or
No. Are you kidding me?
That's fine if you
I'm
are.
I'm very just... open about being Muslim.
No, but the thing I'm excited about is this right here.
Yeah.
These All-American Rip-Its. I don't know. It says tribute. I don't know what the fuck the tribute is to exactly.
By the way, Rip-It is not a sponsor, although we wouldn't be opposed to it.
Because no,
that was the military drink, right?
Yeah. It's either, I mean, when you're deployed, you get your hands on this stuff called Wild Tiger, which I think is out of Syria or some shit. but for the most part, what the military provides is Rip-It. And it says tribute. And
there's two soldiers on there.
Yeah, there's a soldier on there holding
with a shredded American flag.
A shredded flag, and then a gun in his other hand, which is how we like. Whenever I've gotten into gunfights, I hold a flag up in the air with one hand and fire into the air with the other, for sure.
Why is the flag always shredded? What happened to that flag?
I don't know. I've never seen that before.
Yeah. It's nice. It looks like a can of America. Like if you put America into a can, that's what this Rip It tribute can is. And is that cherry lime?
Yeah, it is, as a matter of fact.
Is there any sugars in that?
Yeah.
I'm kidding. 20, there's 20,000, right?
It's they do that whole like serving size trick. So
this is
two serving sizes. There's 52 grams of sugar in this.
Yeah.
Which means I will not be drinking it, but I will stare at it from across the room because it's super America.
Well, you've got it on your desk, and if you're not subscribed on YouTube, all the shows are on YouTube, including the sports shows now. We get a big shocker to start off the show, Dan.
Yeah.
I was not expecting this to happen. We've talked shit about this for a while now.
Since November, really, when the first hard numbers started coming in.
For the sports show.
Yeah.
We said, look, man, because we ended up the season. And when we say the season, we mean August 1st through essentially April, right? Because that's the biggest gambling season for all of us fucking junkies out there, right? That's college football, fantasy football. The reason why we say August 1st, because that's when the odds come out for the NFL season. You kind of know if somebody got hurt in training camp or if they're going down or whatever's going to happen, whatever the case may be. Somebody keeps a firework in their hand like JPP and it just blows up, you know, a few digits off their hand. Fine. At least we know that by then, right? And we're starting to bet on the full season. When we got our MyBookie.com checks, /drinking bros, on MyBookie, you and I put all of the money, because they gave us money to start with and be like, hey, get familiar with the site, play it, do all the shit, right? You and I put it all on Clemson on the first week of August.
I mean, we called
it. To win the title.
We called everything last year.
We were
good on Boston, LA
Boston,
series
LA,
with Boston winning. Yep. We were good on the national championship. We were a little optimistic, I think, about the NFL playoffs. Well, didn't expect the Patriots to win.
I didn't either. And here's what happened with the NFL, because we do these way too early prediction shows, and everybody loves them, and we're going to do them again this year. They're going to be way, way too early again, and that's going to be starting in August for college and NFL again. But during the Super Bowl, I still did not, even watching the game, I still didn't think the Patriots were going to win that Super Bowl. Either way, we finished 74% on the year. I think it was like 73.8 or something on picks for the year. And we cost them a lot of money. Not only that, you and I personally won a lot of fucking money off of my bookie. Mm-hmm. So much so, in fact, I think I flew out the night that Clemson won the next day and we burned that jersey.
Yeah, we burned the Rudy jersey.
It was a lot of fucking money we won. Either way.
It was good.
Both of us said on air and in private, there is no way MyBookie.com is going to come back on and sponsor us, because that's it. Most of these sponsors are a year, right? Chief sponsors are a year, and then you move on. Hopefully they stay, but you never know what companies are going to do.
Yep.
They came back and hit us up and said, hey, man, put your money where your fucking mouth is and see if you can do it again, assholes. And I literally almost dropped the phone. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Like, they were
we had talked to DraftKings. We actually did a thing with them. NBA thing. We talked to DraftKings. We talked to a couple other sites, and I was like, man, I don't, because you and I love doing the sports show. The sports show crushes.
Yep.
I didn't think in a million years mybookie.com/drinkingbros would be back. They are back, and they're saying, put your fucking money where your mouth is. See if you guys can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
You assholes. And we said, we will do it, but we want to add some fun things in for the year. Mm-hmm. And one of them, because they were like, look, you're so good at picking fucking games and all that shit, that one of the new things they're going to do, no lie, is they're going to do those football cards on Sundays, which is awesome. So, like, it's a, you know, most winners and all of that shit, and, mm-hmm. and you win, you know, a bunch of money and things like that. So we're really going to have to step up our game. And I it's weird, man. I felt, when I got off the phone with them, I felt more pressure than last year.
Did you?
Last year there was no pressure, where I was just like, fuck it. Right. We started housing those guys and I was like, all right, cool. Now I actually feel a little bit of heat. Mm-hmm. I feel a little bit of heat in this kitchen to provide, just because I want to shut them the fuck up, you know?
Yeah, well, I think we're probably, I mean, I'm pretty confident in our abilities, but I don't know if we're going to hit 74% again next year. That's pretty good.
It was astronomical.
We'll see. So I'm kind of, I'm going to slow roll my shit talking.
Right? I'm not going to. Obviously, that's not no huge shock.
No,
They asked if I wanted to be the bank for Ohio State again. And I said, look, come back to me in a couple months and we'll see. Come back to me in August and we'll see. Let me figure out. We got a new team all the way around here. Mm-hmm. And we're down to one quarterback. Granted, he's supposed to be the greatest quarterback ever. What is he, the highest rated high school quarterback of all time?
Yeah.
Justin Fields. So we'll see. I watched him in spring game, and that's, you don't know the plays. He transferred from Georgia. You don't know the play calling. You don't know the playbook, all that shit. I'm like, let me give this a few more practices and then hit me back up in August. So I'm not sure on that. And going through it last year, Ohio State against the spread was only, I think, one game over.
Yeah.
So that, sweating that out every Saturday was fucking brutal. Let me look at this team first, and then we'll see if we'll go back to that well. But mybookie.com/drinkingbros is on for another year. Time to take these motherfuckers to the house. They got everything up. I mean, they even have like French Open odds and UFC and all this other stuff. Look, we love betting. We love spreads. We love the whole shit of it. So I'm stoked they are back. I just did not think, I didn't personally believe they would come back to this.
No, I didn't either. But I tell you, now that we have, like, we're dedicating more time and resources to the shows now.
Yes.
So we're going to do some prop bets and other stuff that'll make it fun. Correct. For everybody.
Yep.
Like, some people don't bet on sports.
Yep.
But they might bet on, let's say, I don't know, Jared doing something weird.
Yeah, yeah. Like, whether or not he's going to get married again.
Yeah.
And then, look, also, MyBookie is also doing Bitcoin now, which, man, you and I have talked about this on Real Drinking Bros. Mm-hmm. Now we can talk about it on Sports Drinking Bros, since you can bet with fucking Bitcoin. Is this real? Is this cryptocurrency shit real?
I mean, it's as real as as anything, any other currency or art. It's valued at what society will value it at, right?
So I'll put it this way. Josh Harkis, friend of the show, obviously travels with us for most of these live games.
Yeah.
He bought a fucking office building with cryptocurrency. Yeah. And they took it. They took the fucking money.
Yeah.
It's shocking to me. So look, you can bet with it now too. So if you're out there at home and you're like, hey man, I got some crypto to burn, boom, you can pop it in here. Again, $100 all the way up to $3,000 doubles your deposit. And since we're talking about it, before we get into the other sponsors and shit, I want to ask you about this Warriors spread, because this came out today and I was shocked by it.
Yeah, 5.5 is a lot, considering Iguodala's a little banged up, Clay's a little banged up, KD, we don't know if he's coming back. Looney is out for the series now, apparently.
Kevin, yeah, Kevon Looney, yeah. Which why his parents didn't name him Kevin, I don't really know. I don't want to go too deep into why people name kids certain things. Kevon, like, that's just
there's a lot of names.
Is it Kevin?
There.
Nope, it's Kevon. You know how many times that motherfucker's had to say that his whole life?
Yeah, he's, oh man, I feel like as a parent, name your kids normal shit and pronounce it normal ways, because it just makes it difficult.
It's going to fuck their life up.
Yeah, it makes it so difficult, and then they have to learn how to spell this crazy bullshit too. God. No way.
So Kevon Looney died on the floor that night.
He took an elbow to the chest or some shit?
Sort of. It was on the way up and then down. He fell hard. I thought he had maybe broke his collarbone the way he fell. So they're saying some, it's not a chest. In the game, they said
chest contusion.
In the
right,
game, yeah. And that was way incorrect, by the way.
What is it exactly then?
It's some collateral fucking thing. What are you typing in over there?
Nothing about that.
Yeah. You should be looking up that. But whatever his collarbone was, that's gone now. He died. I saw his fucking soul leave his body.
Yeah, he's dead for sure.
It's called a cartilage injury.
Interesting. I don't know really what I mean. Like a meniscus tear, but in your chest.
It's in his fucking.
I've never heard of that before.
He's out indefinitely with a fractured collarbone. Make this shit simple, dude. Just say that he broke his fucking collarbone. It's exactly what I said to you during that game.
Fracture of the first costal cartilage on the right side of his ribcage.
What the fuck is that?
Let's look it up.
No, let's not look it up. It's a broken collarbone. He's fucking out with a broken collarbone. When we saw the goddamn play, I literally said to you, oh, he just broke his collarbone. That's exactly what he did. Don't pretty this up. Don't put your fucking baby makeup on this child and trot them out to a JonBenet Ramsey competition because you want to sound like you're a fucking doctor. It's a broken collarbone. It is what it is. He'll be fine.
It's the cartilage between.
Don't care.
The ribs.
All done with that.
The breastplate and the ribs.
Never want to hear about it again. He broke his fucking collarbone. He's dead. He's out for the series. Now I want.
Let's send some flowers to the Warriors organization for his death.
Send a can of this tribute. Rip it too with the soldier. They can pour some out flag
for their dead homie.
Yeah. Because Kevon Looney is gone.
You heard it here first, folks.
Never to return.
Kevon Looney's dead.
He's dead. I saw his soul leave his body, and it's gone. With that being said, the Boogie Cousins thing coming back from injury has never been more important. And I thought Boogie was done.
Yeah.
Done for the series. Whatever that guy did to come back from this injury that quickly and play this well, because let's face it, if he doesn't have, what is he? He had a 10, 11, and 6 in the last game.
I thought he had 18.
No. I think he had 11, 10, and 6 is what he had. Those numbers for a guy who just came back after, missing all that time were monstrous. Mm-hmm. Monstrous. And he's back in, and it's Bogut. Bogut had like 3 alley-oops. Granted, Bogut can only jump 3 inches off the ground. But Boogie Cousins hustling his dick off, working every single day to come back from this injury might just win them the title. And if so, that guy deserves to be the MVP. Because now, look, I don't know what's wrong with Klay Thompson. I saw him, limping out of the locker room afterwards to go after Drake. Did you see that?
Yeah, it looked like just like a sore hamstring. It didn't look that big of a deal.
I thought he popped it. Why not come back then?
Why come back?
Because it's game two, in my opinion, and we talked about this too when we were watching that game. If they lost that game, that series is over to me.
Okay. Maybe. I don't know. I think
that game was way too important, and he left with about 8 minutes, 9 minutes left in the fourth.
Yeah.
If it's not serious, he doesn't dribble.
Well, if it's
just
not
shoot.
If it's not serious, or his role on the court is like 60% defense and 100% shooting.
So that last play of the game that came down to Iguodala, mm-hmm. right? I would rather have Klay Thompson out there shooting that three. Look, good on Iggy that he made that shot.
Yeah, he makes big shots.
But
I liked what
him taking a three-pointer. That if he misses, Raptors get the ball back with 6 seconds left.
Yeah, but he's a former Finals MVP.
He is.
He's out there for a reason, dude.
900 years old now.
Yeah, he's 36.
So,
but he's out there for a reason. I think they're pretty confident that he's going to make those big shots.
He's out there for a reason because they need bodies out there, just warm bodies that are actually alive. After Kevon Looney died on the court, they needed a warm body, and they had a 36-year-old male. African-American who is there to, you know, I almost feel like we should, you know, describe him as a suspect at this point, because let's face it, that's all they're left with. It's just a bunch of suspect players on that bench. Like 36-year-old Andre Iguodala taking a deep three at the end of the game. How is that possible? Did you see the defense they were playing against the Warriors? It was a box and one. Yeah. I was trying to remember when the last time, because I played a lot of basketball growing up. The last time we played a box and one was in sixth grade against a kid who was lights out. I think his name was Brent Abernathy. And I don't know if he is alive or knows me or anything anymore. This kid, this white kid who was already balding at like sixth grade. Like I knew he was going to lose all of his hair in sixth grade. He had a hairline that was already up top, right? Was just draining three-pointers. That's the last time I saw a coach invoke a box and one against a player. Was against this kid named Brent Abernathy in sixth grade. I didn't think I would ever see that defense in college or the pro
certainly
level
not,
ever again.
Certainly not the pro. I don't think I was trying to research this, and the last time anybody that I can figure out, the last two players that anybody used a box and one against in the NBA were I think it was Havlicek and Pete Maravich.
Yeah, in the 60s.
Yeah, because they were ahead of their time.
Correct.
Vis-a-vis being able to handle the ball.
Yep.
And that worked back then. But then all the new like illegal defense rules and shit like that came out in the 80s and 90s, and you can't do that anymore. Now you can again, but...
you can again. And like this Nick Nurse, this coach for the Raptors that everybody's calling a genius, he is. Look, that worked. They didn't score the last 5 minutes of that game until that Iguodala three-pointer. So that weird, you know, I would call Indiana Hoosiers Jimmy Chitwood defense that he was using.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Was effective, and it shut the whole team down. And you're looking out there and you're like, all right, because I'm trying to figure out how this makes sense, okay? And the reason is there are just a bunch of suspects on that court. That's it, dude. You've got Iguodala. Boogie played well, you know, to win that game and all that stuff, but it's the last second shot. It's got to go to Steph. Everyone's gone. Klay Thompson's out. Durant is out. Looney's out. Who else is left? It's not like Bogut's going to pop open for a 12-footer off the glass. Like,
yeah, but Quinn Cook can shoot the ball.
Who is that?
He came from their D League sometime last year, I think.
And you know why? Because they needed a fucking warm body just to put on the bench. Just one guy. I'd never even heard of him. I didn't even know if he... Has he played the entire year besides dropping those three-pointers?
Yeah, he's...
Nuts on that guy.
He played 74 games this year.
So for him to come out from D-League and then dropping threes like that in the NBA Finals is amazing to me.
I mean, he shot... His career three-point percentage is about 42% in the NBA. He can shoot.
He can shoot, but how...
That's about
when
it.
Does he play?
Not much. I mean, he averaged like 14 minutes a game this year.
Yeah, when you shoot three shots a game, yeah, you make, you know, two of them. Congratulations. You're going to have a high, you know, shooting percentage. But that guy was amazing. Look, Boogie was amazing. But Iguodala to take that three-pointer was crazy to me. So now you look ahead to the next game, right?
Yep.
And the reason why we're starting off with the NBA is there's a lot of money. A lot of people are watching this series. I know the ratings are down just simply because it's in Toronto. It doesn't really count because Canada's ratings are through the roof. So
yeah.
I'll disregard that one for this year. But there's a lot of money being placed on these games. A lot of money a lot of money is changing hands, and we've got a 6.5 point spread. Is that
5.5?
5.5 yeah. point spread on this,
which
next
I think
game.
Is. I mean, yeah, they're going back to Oracle. The crowd's going to be crazy as fuck. It's going to be like
it
game
be.
One.
Yep.
And it's going to be.
But who is starting for the Golden
yeah,
State
I don't know.
Warriors?
It'll be one of the last 2 to 3 games played in that arena ever.
Correct.
By the
yeah, because yeah, they got a new arena in San yeah. Francisco.
So they're going to get wild as fuck. I don't know who's. I mean, Steph will be there and Boogie will be there. Draymond will be there. As far as the other two, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Even Draymond, I would have trusted with that shot over Iguodala. I mean, that's crazy.
I don't know,
to me, man.
Iguodala, he hits clutch shots all the time. He really does.
It's amazing. But look, you got those guys. Why not? Because if that is your lineup, right, and that box and one works so well, defense, what if you did that for the whole game?
The problem with that is that you can that only works if you're in a half-court set, and I wonder how many possessions per game you actually play against the Warriors when you're in a true half-court set, because Draymond pushes the ball up the court every single play.
Right.
On purpose to keep defenses, either get them tired or keep them off balance or whatever. I don't think... I guess it doesn't really come up in transition. Like, it's you're not running a set defense anyway, so it wouldn't be a big deal if you're running a box and one. It's not going to negatively affect that. I just don't think with the rapidity that the Warriors push the ball that you can maintain that. Like, you would have to switch out the one in the box and one all the time, the whole game.
But if you're Steve Kerr, right, and you've got a couple days off, well, they're probably going to take one day off and then, what, 2 days practice? Because we're going every 3 days here
yeah.
with this fucking shit, which is bullshit. Congratulations on the ratings and all that stuff. But as a fan, it sucks.
Yeah.
He's probably working on the how to beat a box in one, right?
Yeah, and with the amount of talent they have, the pass, like everybody that's on the court for the Warriors usually is a good passer. Like even their big guys are good passers for the most part. Boogie and Bogut are fucking great high post passers. Obviously, Draymond's a good passer.
Yeah.
When you throw in a new defensive scheme like that, like I don't know if Nurse has had these guys practicing this all year, but if this is something that just came up recently, there's holes there, and Steve Kerr will find them. And it'll be like 4 or 5 possessions in a row where back cuts get them or wide open baseline 3-pointers.
Right.
And then he's going to pull off of that.
Well,
like he'll have to switch up his strategy at some point.
What I know is this is Gene Hackman's going to be there.
Yes.
He'll be probably on the sidelines for the Raptors.
He's still alive.
And then barely. And then Dennis Hopper, they're going to have a hologram Dennis Hopper. Yeah, because he's passed
on. He's gone, yeah.
A hologram Dennis Hopper who's going to watch the game from a hospital bed.
Yes.
A psych ward or what do you have, alcoholism?
Yes.
So all my money is on hologram Dennis Hopper for this next game. This is going to be for me because this airs tonight. This show airs tonight. The game is tomorrow. I am going to wait to bet this, and look, we've been betting all of these, and you know we put the house on the Warriors last game. And by the way, if you're not a member of Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook, it's a private group. Sign up. We'll usually drop in picks on there, like last minute of like, hey guys, I put the thing in there of what world is are the Warriors losing
no
and
way,
getting
yeah.
2 points, and they crushed and dominated. We won a shit ton of money off of that,
yep.
But I don't bet this game. Probably until an hour and a half before, 2 hours before on MyBookie.com.
I think it's by 2 p.m. that they have to release
the injury
lineup.
Report.
Yeah,
yeah.
And all
yeah.
that. So we'll see.
So I personally, I don't put money on this until I see that injury report because I don't know who the fuck is playing. I can tell you this now. At 5.5, if Durant and Klay Thompson are out, I don't touch that. I do not touch that many points.
No way.
I don't give a shit that they're at home. I really don't. And because Kawhi Leonard is... He's a lot like you. He's dead inside.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter where that guy plays to me. He doesn't give a shit if he's playing, at Oracle or, in fucking Iran, right
yeah,
in the middle of a nuke site. Like, that guy doesn't give a shit where he's playing.
I haven't looked at his home and away splits, but I would assume.
Doesn't matter. The guy's money everywhere he goes. It doesn't matter. He came in Toronto, a foreign land, foreign culture, and dominated. And what did he dominate with? He dominated with laughter. the old Kawhi laughter is what he dominated with. But yeah, so let's wait to throw money on this until couple hours before game time, before heading over to my bookie. That's definitely what I'm going to do in this one.
He's actually a little better on the road.
Goddamn right he is, because he's Kawhi Leonard.
Like, pretty much across the board except for free throw shooting. Every other category he's better in.
Because it just doesn't matter where he is.
No.
You put a piece of orange rubber in front of him, and he'll put his giant ass hands on it and throw it through your fucking dome, dude.
How big do you think his dick is?
Monstrous. It's a two-hander.
It's got to be huge. Because he's 6'7",
right? I'll put it this way. Do you know what his proud few is?
No.
Do you know what the proud few is?
No.
So that is when you grab your dick, full boner, and whatever's left at the end of it. So you grab it with two hands.
And then this part at the end.
Yep. Whatever you're proud, yeah, whatever's left at the end of you grabbing your hard dick with both hands, that's your proud few. Is your proud few inches. Kawhi?
I don't know that he's got that because his mitts are so fucking big.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't take that into account.
His hands look like baseball gloves.
I didn't take that into account, but I'll say this. I bet it's an extra 3.5. His proud few number is probably 3.5 inches.
You think he's rocking a full foot?
Close. It's got to be close. I would say it's at least 9 flaccid, maybe 11 hard on Kawhi Leonard's cock. I mean, you have hands that big, and you're that large of a man.
Well, we know how big Draymond Green's dick is because he posted a picture of it on Twitter one time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, somebody else did too, yeah. Jeez. He DM'd a girl, I think a porn star, and she put it up, and she was like, yo, fuck you.
Yeah.
Here's your dick.
That's a good lesson. Don't send unsolicited dick pics to people.
No.
Only send solicited ones.
Solicited ones.
Yeah. Like if a girl says hi.
And get a proper photographer.
I'm a translator. A lot of people know that.
Yeah.
When a woman says hi to you, dick pic. That's what that means. Like, please give me that dick pic. That's not what it means, by the way, so don't do that.
Kawhi's proud few. I'm going to go over under 3.5.
If we could get that on my bookie, that'd be great.
As a nice prop bet.
Yeah, and then you and
but
I.
But then we would have to go in and grab his dick.
No, you run up behind him.
Sure.
Kneel down. I'll push him over you. And as he's falling over, you grab his pants, pull him down, and I'll have the tape measure ready. I'll get that.
Problem is, he's got to have a boner. And that'll segue into our next sponsor. Talking about Roman.
Yeah.
The boner pills.
That's getroman.com/drinkingbros.
Getroman.com/drinkingbros. Yep. Boner pills.
I'm going to shoot.
I'm going to shoot.
So we slip him a Roman at some point.
Yeah.
And then I'll push him over. You grab his pants. I'll grab his dong and then the whole thing.
So you go this. Roman.
Yep.
Chlorophyll.
Mm.
Measurement.
Chloroform.
Whatever.
Chlorophyll is what makes plants green.
Makes plants green. Yeah. Hey, let's give him some of that too. Let's turn him green, man. Turn him green.
He could turn green. I could see that.
Yeah.
Incredible Hulk style.
Space Jam.
Yeah.
So let's give him a Roman. Yeah, to push him over and then get out the old handsies.
Or if there's someone out there in Drinking Bros land that can get us a picture of Kawhi Leonard's dick. That would be good too. That way we wouldn't have to assault this guy.
Yeah, and look, if you're out there at home and you're trying to you're trying to understand what your proud few is,
yeah.
Go to
GetRoman.com/drinkingbros.
Get your boner pills in the mail, discreet packaging, your wife, girlfriend, kids, they don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. You won't know what it is until you open the box and see those fucking boner pills. And then pop them down, put both hands on that fucking rock hard wood of yours, and then get your proud few measurement and send it into the show.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we'll give you a signed can of Rip It Energy tribute.
Cherry lime flavor. Because that's the only flavor that it comes in, apparently.
Get Roman.
Get Roman.
.com/drinkingbros. I'm gonna shoot.
Oh boy.
And then see what that is. Next up, we got boxofawesome.com.
Oh man, I love this shit so much.
What'd you get last time? Because you just moved to, you had a bunch of shit. Would you?
I got a whiskey decanter and two glasses.
Yeah.
And that's one of them. I've got another one on the way. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but I'm very excited.
Surprise.
Yeah.
But you had the whiskey decanter. And I was like, yeah, would you bring that with you? And you were like, hey, it's box of awesome. And I was like, fuck off, dude.
Yeah.
Gigantic fan of these guys, man. They're on the show, boxofawesome.com. They're theme boxes for guys who give a shit about, you know, your life. And then here's what you do. You can join free. and then take a quiz, and they'll give you a surprise box, or you can just order the boxes individually.
Yep.
The dot kit I own, and the travel bag I own.
I like that travel bag. That's really
fuck, neat. Dude. I'm a big fan of that shit. And it's $50. That's it. So you're good to go. My next one's going to be this skillet, this cast iron skillet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesse cooks with one all the time. And
it's the only way to cook a steak properly.
Is that real? So she's been cooking fillets in it. So that's real, right?
Yeah, I do. Because
I grill out a lot. I'm a grilling guy. I'm a grill master.
Not a big. The grill's uneven heat usually. So for something that takes longer to cook, like pork,
yeah,
doing indirect heat on a grill is cool. But for steak, it's very precise, right?
Yeah.
That's why I sous vide or do reverse sear. Usually sous vide, but reverse sear reverse sear is okay, I guess.
I do reverse cowboy too.
She got pregnant.
But yeah, they got knives. They got everything. Go to boxofawesome.com and type in the promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off. Gets delivered right around the 15th. Mine came in right around the 15th of the month. And I just keep getting them. I guess subscribe because it's just fucking dope as shit.
Yeah.
And they're in, man. We're fucking in with these guys. But I'm a big, big fan, dude. Waiting on the third box as we speak. Boxofawesome.com. Drinking Bros 20% off.
That's not the official
Your Ding-a-ling
theme song.
It's not, but it could be.
Could be.
Let's hop into the rest of the show. Shocker of the world. Maybe one of the biggest shocks in sports ever. I mean, you've had a lot of long shots come in this year, mm-hmm. right? Kentucky Derby. That's Country House was 65-1. This fucking little dirt bag, this Andy Ruiz fight, man.
Yeah, he like that fight wasn't even close.
No, and here's the weird thing about this fight, right? And this is full disclosure because truthfully, you and I watch every fucking sporting event on the planet,
yep.
No matter what it is. Fuck, I was even watching the French Open this weekend. I did not watch this fight.
Did you watch the men's or the women's French Open more?
Both, actually. I, you know what's funny, man? Tennis is one sport where both men and women are great.
Just had this conversation last night with a friend of mine. Like, I can't watch women's basketball.
I can't.
It's terrible. Women's soccer I watch.
Yes.
Volleyball, great. Especially during the Olympics.
Correct.
Indoor and outdoor. They're super correct. Athletic. And then tennis.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the gender is.
And like the female World Cup is coming up, and like I'll watch the shit out of that. The USA women are amazing.
And now the fucking women's MMA is getting good again.
Good, yeah. Like it was real good.
They had a few people and then mostly shit, and now I feel like they're getting a lot more lined out as far as their people go. So.
For sure, and they're fun, man. You see a lot of knockouts, and it's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
So I'm into that as well. This fight, however, I was not into. The opponent,
I didn't think
the opponent
that it was
canceled.
Be a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. The opponent canceled. This guy, you know, this fat Mexican dude took this fight on 30 days. You know how he took the fight, Dan? This will alter your mind.
I know he said before the fight, quote unquote, don't underestimate this little fat boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That was his big pitch.
That's what he said. Here was his other big pitch. So Anthony Joshua's opponent dropped out 30 days before. Yep. He read about it online, sent a DM through Instagram to Joshua's manager and said, I will fight him on short notice. Please consider me. I would like to do this. Yeah. The guy answered a DM on Instagram. His manager actually answered that and got in the ring and boom, knocked the shit out of him.
Do you think Joshua's manager has deleted his Instagram account?
I would now. Look, this is my big, big issue with boxing, and I fucking love boxing, and I hate that it's gone this way, but when you don't put the best people up against each other,
yeah,
when you don't put the biggest fights out there possible, because this should have been Joshua Wilder.
Yeah.
I don't know if Joshua didn't train for this or what his fucking deal is with this fight. I did go back and watch a replay of this because you and I did not watch this Saturday night.
No. No, but I mean, it was this kid...
Because you and I
dominated that.
Yeah,
fight.
We watched we watched the Bruins Blues game.
Yep,
it was 90-2, and awful game.
Yeah, it was terrible.
But I didn't want to switch over and watch this fucking fight. It was on that Dazen That's the worst titled app of all time in the history of apps.
It was bad.
I was like, I'm not flipping over for this. I don't really give a shit. Went to bed. I didn't know until the next morning, and I woke up and I was like, yo, wait, what the fuck? That giant, he got knocked out by this guy? And him and he looks like a Mexican butterbean.
Yeah, he does, but he's not a rookie or anything. Like, he fought for the WBO heavyweight title in 2016.
And narrowly lost.
Yeah, on points.
Yeah.
He lost in the decision.
In like New Zealand or something.
Yeah,
so
it wasn't.
He only has one loss.
Yeah, it wasn't a big fight, but it appears as though this guy can fight. Although, I mean, considering his build, I can't imagine that he's going deep into rounds and being successful at that. But who the fuck knows, man?
They said he did in the other fight, which was shocking. And they said he's had like 100 amateur fights. So
he's 33-1 with 21 KOs.
Yeah. And they said that, you know, he's been doing this for years and years and years. This is his whole bag. And finally got a shot at the title. Won. I don't know what happens after this. I don't know if this is a Buster Douglas situation where, you know, you lose the next fight and then that's it.
I don't think so, though, because Douglas didn't flirt with titles before. Like, he was a successful middle-of-the-road boxer, and then he figured out a strategy that worked against Mike Tyson. That's what happened. This guy has gotten super close to winning the title before, so I feel like, you know, he might be... Well, here's the problem. We'll see in his next fight.
Right.
Because the next person that fights him is going to take this shit seriously. I don't know if Joshua fucking slacked off that last 30 days after. And honestly, 30 days to prep for a fighter you don't really know is not that much time anyways.
No, I was trying to think of the last time that I can remember it in boxing. And I was a kid and I was actually there. And it was, you know, I'm from Atlanta, obviously. It was Evander Holyfield against, I forget who his original opponent was who backed out. But it was like Bert Cooper or something like that. And Bert Cooper knocks Holyfield down, and I was like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah,
and it was in the old Omni.
Well, the thing
I was there with my dad. It took me as a kid, and I was like, "Oh my god!" Crazy thing about that card was that Lennox Lewis was on the undercard, so was Michael Moore, and I got to see three heavyweight title fights on this fight that should never have taken place, and then Holyfield barely won in the eighth round, and he ended up knocking this dude out. But I think he was knocked down twice in that fight.
I wish Justin was here to talk more about this, but if you're training for, especially at that level where you have tape on a guy, you're training for a specific fighter, right? And you know that he moves in a certain kind of way, like he drops one of his hands when he does a certain thing.
Right.
And you're keyed in on that for that whole time. And then you go, it switches all of a sudden. You fight this new guy. You have 3 months of programming that this indicator means this action's about to come down. And you see that indicator, but it's not the same guy, but you're... reflexes make you fucking react to it and you get knocked the fuck out. You know what I mean? Like it's a game of inches and seconds. So I could see how that happens. Like when Diaz beat McGregor back in the day.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that's what happened. Because that was when McGregor was actually taking fights seriously and not fucking around.
Sure. Very similar to your sex life. It's a game of inches and seconds.
Yes.
And a lot of girls have said that.
Yes.
Game of inches and seconds. No, but it's true. And, you know, with this... there was an automatic triggering in the contract of a clause for a rematch. So, you know, typically there's a 30-day waiting period. Homeboy's manager here, Joshua's manager, Hearn, who wouldn't put together that Wilder fight, immediately came out maybe 10 minutes ago and just said, nope, we're doing the rematch and this is what we're doing. You know, when I watched the replay of the fight, I tried to figure out how to happen. You know, now you go to Twitter and they've got the knockouts up so quickly for, you know, boxing and UFC and all that stuff. So I saw the knockdown, but I didn't understand why he couldn't continue. Like, he looked weird in the corner. And there when I watched the fights on the replay, on the whole thing, on the playback, he got hit, like, right around the ear, right behind the ear, right?
Yep.
And he was dazed and then went back to the corner and then... you could literally hear Joshua say, "I don't know what's wrong with me."
Yeah,
his trainer
and the ref. Well, not the ref, but one of the commentators had mentioned that the ref made some kind of comment about he looked quote unquote woozy, but he was still on his feet and moving normally. But there was something wrong, and he couldn't tell what it was. And then when he got knocked down that second time, the ref was just like, "No, that's it."
Because it looked like something in his equilibrium, almost like somebody with vertigo. Like
maybe.
It was that strange. And now, granted, that's not what it was, but he could have gotten hit, you know, right in that sweet spot behind the ear, and that fucked up his balance and everything else. But I'd never seen somebody smiling out on their feet, but not, you know, because the part of me looked at that and was like, I think he can continue, but he didn't want to continue.
Well, that's what makes
so it wasn't even like a ref challenge, you know?
No, but that's what makes being a ref so tough these days. I think in MMA more so even than boxing, because you and I have been to a lot of the contender series fights, mm-hmm. which probably they're going on right now, I think, right? Isn't it this time of year?
It's in the summertime, yeah.
So, you and I have been to a lot of those, and it's just like the fighters, their families, mm-hmm. other fighters, and Dana White, and a couple other guys. It's like 50 people in the fucking room, and then a ref. And I hear, like, I think four times now, I've on specific fights.
Okay.
After the fight, Dana has said, I think that was an early stoppage. But the UFC doesn't control that. The refs come from, like, they're sanctioned through gaming commissions and shit like that.
Sure.
So they have specific rules. It's almost like the concussion protocol or whatever. Like, if you see a guy that can't defend himself, then you have to stop it. But how can you tell, especially when it's two big-ass dudes?
Right.
Like, a dude gets rocked, and some guys can take a fucking punch. Like, you see a guy get punched, and your reflex as a ref is to be like, I got to stop this fight. But the guy just shakes it off. Like, what's his name? Tony the Fernandez? What's his name?
The UFC fighter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy that fought relatively recently. Like, he gets his belt, and Holloway too, Max Holloway.
Yeah.
Gets rocked all the time, and it just slips right off him like water on a duck's back. So I guess you learn fighters over time. And figure out who can take that punch and who can't, who gets fucking their bell rung real fast. But that's got to be a tough job. It's not like calling balls and strikes in Major League Baseball.
For sure. And it says the rematch here. They're looking at November, probably the UK this time, because they were fighting in Madison Square Garden this last time. So, you know, all of his fights were over there originally. This was the first time he'd come to America, Anthony Joshua. And he comes here and just gets rocked. And then immediately Deontay Wilder is just like, look, man, I try to tell you that this guy was a fucking fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he just got exposed tonight and this is it. I don't know now if the Wilder-Joshua fight ever happens now.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, Fury and Wilder fought, what, in December?
Yeah, and they're going to fight again. So they announced that rematch, and I think it's going to be in the spring, they said. Yeah. So that just recently happened after Wilder knocked that guy into another universe. But so that's and that'll be fun to watch. Like, I'm amped about that, but I wanted to see Wilder Joshua, and now I don't know if that happens. The weird thing is this, you know, this Mexican dude, this Ruiz, if he wins this rematch, he does not have another, you know, clause for a third rematch in there, or a second rematch in there. So he can go and do whatever he wants. The interesting part about that is he's got the same promoter as Wilder.
Yeah, so, it would be, I mean, honestly, what happened to the days of number one and number two contenders? And, I mean, come on, man. Like, now it's just random bullshit all the time. Make these guys, like, fight in a way that makes sense. I feel
it's just not like that anymore.
No, it's
and it's all controlled by promoters and everything else. And, you know, you have very little say. You don't see the best fights. You don't see it. That's why, I love the UFC, and it's getting... It has overtaken boxing, in my opinion. Is Dana really puts on the best fights that you possibly could want, and and that's it. Like this Khabib fight, that's the next stop. Sorry, so they just announced the new Khabib fight, and he's going to be fighting Poirier.
Dustin Poirier. This is for the lightweight title, by the way, which Poirier has interim, but the undisputed champ is Khabib. He was suspended for a while.
Correct. Yeah.
When he comes back,
yeah,
they're gonna fight for that title. I don't think this guy's got any chance against Khabib, to be honest. We've seen this guy fight live.
I don't either.
He is a fucking monster.
Yeah.
He's
crazy, man.
His head is so fast. He never takes a direct shot to his head ever.
Yeah.
So unless you can beat him on the ground, and I haven't seen anybody yet that can do that.
And no one.
Neither is the UFC, because he's 33-0 or some shit, or 27-0, whatever he is.
Yeah.
I don't see who's going to beat this guy right now.
The odd thing about this that I can't figure out is this is kind of your big male superstar besides McGregor. But McGregor's not, I don't know if he's going to come back and fight. They haven't announced anything, and he's been dicking around ever since that Khabib fight.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he'll ever come back and fight. So that kind of leaves you with Khabib. I always check to see where these matchups are. The same with this Joshua fight, right? They're going back to England. That's obviously where homeboy feels comfortable, and who knows? Maybe he had some fucking street meat or something. I don't know what happened to Joshua in that fight. But with his Khabib fight, I looked at where this was. This is in Abu Dhabi. Mm-hmm. Who the fuck wants to see, like, as a fan of UFC, right? What time does that fight start?
I don't know, honestly. I don't know how they do it.
Because the last one, I mean, was over this last week. It was in what, Sweden? And we already knew the results by like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was just like, this feels weird. I'm already drunk. What am I supposed to do the rest of the day? So with there, you've been over the Middle East numerous times. What's the hour difference there?
Abu Dhabi is plus 4 GMT, and we're negative 6. So they're 10 hours ahead of us here.
Okay. So what time do you put that fight on then?
I don't fucking know, dude. It doesn't make any sense.
Fight in the morning? Because that's your biggest superstar. I find it extremely odd for pay-per-view reasons that your biggest superstar in your sport is going to fight over there and you're going to...
Play it in the middle of the day,
10 hours?
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But there are a lot of good fights coming up.
Tons. But why do that there is what I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't know, for promotion to build up. I mean, one of the things that I know Dana's trying to do, because Forrest was kind of not in charge of this, but he was part of the team that was going to Russia to develop talent over there.
Talking about Forrest Griffin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, obviously.
Yep.
He spent a lot of time over in the old empire, scouting talent.
Yeah. Okay.
And so did a lot of their people. A lot of people I know that worked there just got back not too long ago, a couple months ago. And I know they're trying to do that. They're probably trying to do the same thing, build TV revenue and new fighters from the, because that's how you do it, right? People in Russia probably aren't going to watch two Mexican dudes fight. But if there's, a Georgian or Ukrainian, where the fuck is Khabib from?
I believe he's Russia, right?
Yeah, maybe. He may be from the Federation.
Russia.
Yeah. So that's your hometown guy. Obviously, anytime there's a hometown dude, people from that area are going to watch it more. So
put it in Moscow.
If there's some guys in the Middle East that are good fighters, and we know that there are because our buddy I can't remember how to say his last name, but he fights in Bellator, and Chris Pratt's his corner guy.
He's a really good
fighter. He was a translator for the Marines during the Iraq War from Iraq. So you can reach those new TV markets in the Mideast if you can get a guy like that and promote him and have him doing well and stuff. So it makes sense that they're doing it. Doesn't make sense for the pay-per-view dollars in the short term, but maybe they're looking long term.
Or America's fans, I guess. That's your biggest superstar. It feels weird to ship him off and then have him fight in the middle of the day like that.
Vegas has minus 350 for Khabib. Oof. And plus 250 for Poirier.
Yeah, that's not a big shock to me. I mean, truthfully, I thought the odds would be
I thought it higher. Would be higher, yeah. But then there's a bunch of fights this fall and winter. Stipe and Cormier fight.
Now that I'm looking forward to.
August 17th, and the undercard of that is...
Where is that?
You know what? I don't know. I have to look.
I'm really looking forward to that Stipe-Cormier rematch.
Yeah. But the undercard for that is Nate Diaz and Anthony Pettis. That's Ooh. Another... Yeah. And then...
Where is that? Let's go to that.
Hang on a sec. Let me find out.
Because I love watching Nate Diaz fight, man. I watched an interview with him yesterday where he was talking about, will he ever fight McGregor again?
Yeah.
And do a trilogy, because that would the first two were two of the greatest fights, in my opinion. Like, they were a blast to watch.
It's in Anaheim. Why would you have a fight? We went down to Anaheim for the goddamn Sweet 16, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was nobody there. It's a goddamn Sweet 16.
It's so 25 minutes to get out of that LA. Arena, too. And the traffic is so bad. Fuck those guys.
Yep.
Why are they...
And then July 6th is Thiago Santos versus John Jones. Good fight. Although Jones is a minus 700 on that one.
Yikes.
Yeah. And then Holly Holm, Amanda Nunez is on that card. So that's a good one, too. There's a lot of good fights.
Nunez is going to smoke her. What's that?
Nunez is minus 330.
Yeah. All right. Which is, that makes sense.
I think that's... Holm is getting older. I think that's a little close. I would have gone like probably 450 or 500.
Yeah, for sure.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? A lot of good fights coming up is the point of that.
Here's the thing, fighting wise, because I've been to a million of these championship fights. have them all in Vegas. It's just so much fun.
Vegas or New York or something like that.
It's just so much fun in Vegas.
So the one, John Jones versus Santos, that's in Vegas on July 6th. We may need to go to that one.
All right. Ironically, that's the one fight that I'm not like, John Jones is going to kill him. Yeah. I don't really care about
that
fight.
I mean, it would be nice to see some dude get murdered in person though, right? Or would you just get jealous because of how much you want to murder someone?
Yeah, like that's probably what would kick in for
me. Let me ask you this. You're walking down a very dead, isolated alley.
Mm-hmm.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
We're on one of our trips.
Yeah.
Doing whatever. And you see a guy just get smoked 8 times in the chip. Pow, pow, pow.
Yeah.
What do you feel? Is it jealousy? Like, I wanted to kill that
guy. Yes. And then I also don't snitch and I don't ask any questions either.
No, some girl, you know how I like to date women that want to murder me?
Yeah.
So I was talking to this woman the other day and she's like, what if I end up stabbing you? I'm like, don't worry, I'm not a snitch. Right?
It's true.
I'll die. I'll die.
You'll take that blade.
Yeah.
You'll take that blade for sure. Yeah. If somebody got popped like that, yeah, it's a lot of jealousy.
Yeah. I understand that though.
It's a lot of jealousy.
Like, I think Matt's talked about that before. Didn't he? Isn't there some part of the book where he's about to round a corner and his teammate steps out, pops a dude? And effectively saves his life. But he's like, oh, I wanted to fucking kill that guy.
Thank you for my service. Yes, it's on pre-sale right now. Matt Bass, great book. Man, that's going to be a fucking
blast.
It is
really good.
But yeah, that jealousy is the first thought that enters my mind.
Yep.
Then rage.
Rage.
And then rape, possibly. Where it's like, can you still rape a dead body? How long until the ass cheeks seal up, you know, from rigor mortis?
Do they seal up?
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure usually when you die, you evacuate your bowels and bladder.
Right. And so what I like to do in those instances is I carry around a warm stick of salted butter, lightly salted butter. Because you never know when you're going to have to grease something up and put your dick in it.
Yeah.
And that's anything
in
this
life. Why salted? I feel like that might dehydrate the anus.
No, it's just you want it out in the air so it'll soak up the air. That way you can, you know, if you're in land or sea. You know, by the ocean.
I like to add a little. I like to melt the butter and use a little Old Bay seasoning.
Ah, that's nice. You take a Bic on you. You can heat that up from below.
Yep.
Create your own Bunsen burner.
A little Old Bay seasoning, and it's
drip it in. Yeah,
it's like a little.
It's like a stew,
like a low country boil.
Because if you evacuate your bowels, anyways, right, and then you put a little melted butter on that, it's like your own stew.
It is, yeah,
yeah, like a nice duck butter stew.
And you can get all the ingredients you want for that on the streets of San Francisco right now.
Yep,
and they'll pay you to do it. So
pay $84,000 a year, and you get benefits.
Does everybody know about that? You can get
the
paid $84,000 a year plus bennies to pick up human feces off the ground.
San Francisco Poop Patrol. I did an episode of Ross Patterson Revolution on that. I
feel like we need
to
go out there and interview some of the people that are doing that job.
Oof. Gosh.
Like, I want to know what the qualifications are, what the interview process was. I want to see their resume before they had this job and see exactly what they were doing. Like, how do you walk up to a job like that? Yes, I'm qualified to pick up human shit off the ground.
Hey, man. Look, Steph Curry is going to be stepping over it like Allen Iverson, stepping over that shit to get into the new
stepping
arena.
Stepping over Tyronn Lue, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. But Steph Curry is going to be stepping over human feces just to walk into that arena. You know, they're putting that bitch right down in the water in San Francisco.
That arena is like right next to a fucking major hospital, too.
Yep.
And the traffic there is already fucked. It's been fucked. Like, I lived there forever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be a no-go for the Warriors games. But we got some people outside with horns who were
somebody's getting wild out there.
Who were having bulls on parade here. So welcome to the fucking sports show, my dude. I want to talk about the Stanley Cup
before we move on to that.
Lord Stanley's Cup.
Before we move on to that, speaking of Steph Curry, Skip Bayless said yesterday. I'm sorry, Iguodala said yesterday that Steph is the most disrespected player by his peers in the league, or something to that effect. Do you think he's the most, by the fans, the refs, particularly the refs, I think, the most disrespected multiple MVP winner in the history of the NBA?
Yes.
He gets rocked.
It's because of the way he plays.
He gets fouled on every single play.
Steph Curry.
Yes.
Yeah. It's because of the way he plays. So when he shoots, he looks like he doesn't care. He could be anywhere else.
Yeah.
The way he plays, the way he dribbles the basketball is so lackadaisical.
Yeah.
And he's just so good that he makes the game look effortless. Therefore, everyone, including myself.
Yep.
Take Steph Curry for granted. Every time he shoots, I believe it's going to go in.
Shot he made the other night, he like was dribbling randomly and just stopped on a dime, threw the ball up in the air from 30 feet, and it's like swish. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah. It's he's one of those people where I'm shocked if he doesn't make it.
Yeah.
And I never keep track of his points with him. Like, you remember when Jordan used to play or Kobe used to play? Every shot they made, they'd be like, 35.
Yeah.
Kobe's got 37.
Yeah.
They don't do that with Steph Curry. I feel like it's just like, and another three.
Yeah.
And another three. And then
it's like
I don't
Bob Uecker saying just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside. Yeah. I don't know what his point total is until he gets interviewed after the game. And they're like, Steph, you had 43 tonight. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Same with Kawhi Leonard, too, by the way.
Yeah, he's a very quiet scorer.
They said that he scored 30 in this last game. And I was like, what? He did? It didn't seem like it. And it didn't feel like he was that dominant or that great.
No.
But this is the only in the last, you know, in this century, in the last two decades, I guess, Kobe and Jordan are the only ones to score 30 plus in four consecutive finals games. Yeah. And shit. But that was, I mean, some crazy stat where it's just like, well, what the fuck? It feels effortless for those guys. And therefore, Steph, I think, will always get overlooked until the end of his career when you're like, all right, he was probably the best pure shooter of all time. But the fucked up thing is, you probably could say that about Klay Thompson, too.
Yeah, I mean, they're right there. He just isn't getting the volume.
Yeah, that's it, because he's got to play more defense and stuff. Steph can't really play defense because he's so tiny. But
so how do you approach that as the league? Like, they're trying harder and harder to protect the players in all sports.
Right.
With the new rules about beaning people in baseball, the quarterback protection and defensive receiver in football, and all the fucking shit, the new flagrant calls in the NBA and all this stuff. But how do you protect a guy who makes the game more exciting just from the way the game is played? Because if the refs are going to let him get rocked, and they do the same thing to LeBron, if every foul that LeBron took got called, he would shoot 25, 30 free throws a game.
Yeah, LeBron to me, watching how much, you know, how many hits he takes a game reminds me of Shaq. Yeah. Shaq, I felt got fouled on every single play. LeBron, I do too, just simply because of their size and how big physically they are.
Yep.
Steph Curry is a different instance where he's so small.
Yeah.
But the slightest touch is going to rock him because these guys are ginormous.
Yeah.
The thing about him is he just keeps getting further and further back from the three-point line.
He doesn't care.
But part of me wonders if that's on purpose, where if he goes into the offseason and he looks at the tape and he says, all right, in order to preserve my body and preserve, you know, all these hits that I'm taking, can I just shoot further and further back so that way I'm not taking any hits? And if you look back at his career, that it seems like every year he's moving a foot back. I mean, he's shooting from logos now, and it's just like
the season where they went 73-9, and they ended up losing in the finals for a couple of reasons. I think actually Iggy's injury is just as big as Draymond's suspension, his back injury.
Right.
But anyways, that season, his effective field goal percentage from shots between 30 and 35 feet were higher than anybody else's effective field goal percentage anywhere on the court.
Yeah.
Or no, not anybody else's, than the league average.
The league average,
So including layups,
yep.
Including mid-range dunks, jump shots, dunks, everything. His effective field goal percentage between 30 and 35 feet, which is 7-plus feet behind the goddamn three-point line, was higher than the league average. That's incredible.
It's incredible to watch, and again, it's so expected that you take it for granted.
Yeah.
And that's how I think you... I do, at least. I don't know if you do, but I take his greatness for granted.
Yeah. I mean,
every
so
time he
games.
Shoots, I believe it's going in, and I'm just like, yeah, I got that one.
Well, that's
I'm shocked when he misses.
I take the Warriors for granted in general. I've been watching them.
Same, yeah.
Like, I've probably watched 90% of their games and gone to probably 30 of them since, I don't know, 2014 or so. And you and I watch games in the same room together a lot, and you're like, this game's over. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's 5 minutes left, 12-point lead for the other team. I'm like, I don't know, man. I've seen them do this so many times.
There's been
a
bunch of Warriors games this year in the playoffs where I thought it was over.
Every game against Portland.
They've been down every game.
I think it was three straight.
Like every playoff game they've been down. Yeah. And there's times where I'm like, that's it. The other one I turned off, game four of Portland I turned off, remember?
Yeah. Well, games 2, 3, and 4, they were down by 17 in every single one of those games and came back and won.
Yeah, and game 4, I was like, they're just going to play for game 5. They're not really playing this game. And I went to bed, and they came back and won. They're that good that they can get down, and it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Game 2, this last game, I thought they were fucking buried. I didn't. But we'll get to the NHL now, because that was another series. I thought I had rested in peace the whole St. Louis Blues team. Yeah. After, because you and I were together for Saturday night's game.
Yep.
We watched that game together.
It was dominant.
It was 7-2, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it was awful. It was 5-1 in the second period. And they pulled the goalie, and I was like, fuck you, dude. The Blues looked like Carolina to me. Like, they were listless, and they were just getting killed. I wrote them off. We did a show yesterday, and I had said, look, this is over. Boston's going to win the Boston Bruins. Then they come back last night, and they look pretty goddamn good. The Blues.
They looked really good.
I just don't know how a team, though, goes from looking horrific to great night after night. Like, usually, you know, I can see you take that 7-2 game, right?
Yeah.
You lose that game 3-2, you know, 4-2, and it's close, maybe a late goal, pulled the goalie or something like that towards the end. I can see that, but a 7-2 game, I can't, man. And it was 5-1 in the second. Everybody had evacuated at that point. And I thought the series was over. And then you come back and play like that, and I'm like, who is this team?
I think
what's the identity of that team?
St. Louis Blues. When their forecheck is on, and you saw this with Boston, that game they blew out, even towards the end of the game when the second, third, and fourth lines were out there on the ice, their forecheck, and for those who aren't initiated, forecheck is you're in your offensive zone, the other team has the puck, and you're trying to get the puck from them. That's forecheck.
Mm-hmm.
So a strong, aggressive forecheck makes the other team turn the puck over in the blue zone, in the neutral zone, and that is breakaway city, man. That's how you get easy shots.
Yep.
And I think whichever team in this series has been more aggressive on their forecheck and hitting in the neutral zone, like laying out big hits. And that game was super aggressive, too. I don't know how much you watched, but there were a ton of fucking hits.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I watched the entire game.
Yeah, so Barbashev had 9 hits in that game for the Blues. I mean, that's crazy.
Because we're into the darkness now of sports where it's just like, all right, we're really trying to stretch out these NHL and NBA finals games. To the point where, you know, you're watching one. If a game is on right now, you're goddamn right I'm watching it. My day's planned around it. You know what I'm saying? Because there just isn't enough sports right now. And baseball this time of year is pretty fucking snoozy. But, you know, you take even this Boston-St. Louis game, now that it's 2-2.
Yeah.
They put this game on Thursday night.
Yeah.
I got to wait 2 more fucking days for this.
And I can tell you that for ratings is probably good.
It is. It's great. Look.
But it's so irritating.
Thursday night is a great night, but for ratings, you know, the Warriors aren't back on till tomorrow night.
Yeah, Wednesday.
It's just like, come on, dude.
I'm looking over these numbers. So the Bruins in this game had 8 takeaways, steals, basically. Mm-hmm. And St. Louis had 15. So that's where it happens. More possessions, more shots. That's shit in the neutral zone always makes, in my opinion, when you have two teams that are relatively evenly matched, and I didn't think they were, but clearly they are.
Yeah.
That's the backbreaker. And getting all this other time off, especially in a game like hockey that's so exhausting, because they're like baseball. They play 82 games a year.
Yeah.
In 6 months instead of 162. Yeah, so it's a taxing on the body.
It is,
sure.
Yeah.
And you get hit all the fucking time. I'm sure this helps, and maybe we should just stop bitching about it, because ultimately it's about getting the best product on the ice or the court or the field or whatever the fucking case is. Fine. The dudes are most rested. That's the best version of those two teams going against each other. I get it. It's still fucking annoying, though.
Yeah, and again, man, can we not shorten these fucking days off? I can't stand this shit, man. Like, dude, we have nothing tonight. We have the NBA Finals and the NHL Finals going on at the same time. We have nothing tonight.
There's got to be something. Come on.
Zero. You're looking at baseball. Yeah. This is a breaking news story, by the way, from DeMar DeRozan, who got traded in that Kawhi Leonard trade. Look, he was Toronto basketball.
Yep.
He was the dude there. He was the superstar.
He's the one that showed up in the playoffs all those years.
Kyle Lowry
was not.
Yeah. And look, you would probably still rather have DeRozan than Kyle Lowry right now. Yeah.
Would I rather have DeRozan at the 2 and Kawhi Leonard at the 3? Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You would.
Yeah.
So he just came out and said, look, who are you rooting for? And he's like, look, I'm rooting for my best friend, you know, Kyle Lowry and my former teammates, but I can't feel I can't feel like I was I wasn't the sacrificial lamb in this situation. And I'm paraphrasing that from him, but you know, he said, "I fought, I sacrificed, I pushed the limits," and you know.
Well, he did use the phrase sacrificial lamb, though.
He did, but it's, look, it's tough in that situation because, you know, if Kawhi Leonard is out there, you trade for him and you try to go get him.
Yeah.
The Lakers tried, but there's no way you're trading to the Lakers.
Do you think that's, what do you think is going on with the climate in San Antonio? Because for me, as Popovich and or a player on the Spurs, mm-hmm. I would be kind of butthurt about this comment, to be honest. Like, what, you don't want to be here? Like, obviously.
No, he didn't say it like that. So,
well, I know that's not what he's saying, but the implication is true. Like, I would rather be in Toronto winning the series right now is what he's saying.
Of course, and who wouldn't be? But, you know, this was also a guy, and there was very few guys, let's face it, in Toronto, that were like, hey, man, I love Toronto. I'm going to stay here and play, and I want to win a title here. It was two. It was Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you go back in history, even with Vinsanity, right? He wanted out of there. Tracy McGrady wanted out of there. Nobody wanted to play in Toronto because it's a shit market. And I mean, they have great fans, and you know they're passionate about it. But you're in Canada, man. Mm-hmm. Like you're away from your friends and family and all that stuff and everything you grew up with in America, and you're playing for this team. Those are the only two guys that actually wanted to do it. So I think. For that reason is why he made the sacrificial lamb comment of like, man, it sucks because I actually wanted to be there.
Yeah.
And then you go ahead and cut me for not doing anything wrong.
And I don't know what his future even looks like, to be honest, because I don't see the Spurs making moves right now to get better.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see it. There's free agency coming up, but what are they doing? What are they going
to
do?
Look, they're going to try to buy people or, you know, draft and get the best people. But, San Antonio is another place where players just don't want to play there.
Yeah.
They don't want to play in New Orleans. They don't want to play in Toronto. They don't want to play, you know, Memphis is another one where you're just like, those four cities and Sacramento, the five. Those seem to always keep popping up in inner circles of NBA conversations of like, I do not want to be in this city.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great players out there that would rather go to a great city with a shitty team and try to build that team up rather than go to a shitty city with a good team and
I would do that.
Contend immediately. Yeah.
I would. So I feel like the NBA is failing right now not having a team in Seattle. Like, I can't believe there's not an NBA team in Seattle right now. It's fucking crazy. Like, get that team out of Memphis or get some team or do an expansion or something. There should never have not been a team in Seattle.
Yeah.
Like, I understand how it all went down, but the fact that the NBA didn't come back and immediately rectify that situation is fucked to me.
You know who they drafted number one, right?
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been great for a lot of years in Seattle.
And then they drafted fucking Russell Westbrook. Yeah. And then James Harden.
I mean, and Serge Ibaka. I mean, it was
fucking stupid.
Whoever their GM was brilliant.
Whoever their scouting team was.
Wow, was the most brilliant men to ever have lived.
And
in
Seattle
the game.
Has great sports fans, by the way.
Yeah.
Like the Seahawks, the 12th man.
Oh, thing. Yeah.
It's cool. It's kind of annoying, but they're good fans.
Supersonics fans. I mean, they were.
Yeah, they were great.
They were great. So, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with these guys, but I feel bad for DeMar DeRozan because, again, it's rare that you find a player who's like, no, man, I love this little tiny city that I'm in, and I'm going to, you know, try to make it the best I can and win a title, and I'm going to stay because he wanted to play there forever.
He seems like a super genuine, good dude. Like, apparently, Lowry was talking to the press the other day, like, hey, what do you think about DeRozan? He's like, well, he actually texts us, like several of us every single day, wishing us good luck and all this other bullshit.
And he wants them to win the championship.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yep.
I feel bad for him. I really feel bad for that guy.
I bet he's got a big dick too, though. I mean,
I wouldn't say it's a Kawhi dick.
Well, I don't. He's 6'7", so
yeah, not enough.
Not enough.
No, not
let's,
enough.
Let's somebody.
I got a crazy dick story since we're talking about
let's
it.
Let's hear it. Yeah.
There was a girl that we worked with, a crew member who had fucked Shaq in L.A.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that thing?
That's what I said. So I was just like, "How was it?" I was like, "Was it too overwhelming? Like what? Like." That had to have been fighting off, you know, a Fucking stalactite.
It's like your
stalactite, the one that comes down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like your ice cube in that movie with the snake or whatever.
Anaconda. Yeah. She was definitely J-Lo and you know, fighting off Anaconda. And I said, what was it like? And she goes, you know, I was expecting, cause she was like, dude, I was expecting like this just behemoth, you know, just a full elephant trunk coming out of there. And she was like, it wasn't that big at all. But she goes, he was so big. Mm. He's 7'2", 380 pounds or whatever. She goes, big. I can't tell if it was because he was just such a giant man that it made his dick look smaller or vice versa. She goes, I'm going to reserve judgment on it because that's the biggest human man I've ever seen naked. Yeah. And that's what you're going to get out of that combo. And I was just like, you know, thinking about it, it makes sense. So you're like, oh, all right.
How do you not pull out something? Like I would like put it up next to my, I would do some way that I could go measure something later and figure out exactly how big his dick is. I would not be able to live if I saw it and didn't know.
And didn't know that exactly. That real answer, yeah.
It would drive me crazy. It would be like that really shitty Jim Carrey movie, The Number 23 or whatever the fuck it was.
Where never.
He's obsessed with their, see it. It's terrible. Don't see it. But he's just obsessed with this number over and over, and it just keeps showing up everywhere. It would just be Shaq's dick. I would see it everywhere I go. And I would not be able to stop thinking about it until I saw that motherfucker with a tape measure next to it.
Yeah.
By the way, for you out there doing measuring your dicks, make sure you use the cloth tape, right? Don't use... You
can't use the hard one because you got to put that in. That metal is going to catch the end of your shaft there, and that's going to be a problem.
You don't want to get injured. You also want to get a good measurement.
Of course. So you've got to go cloth measurement on that. And that's just a rule of thumb.
And make sure you get the girth, too. You don't want to forget about that. Girth is... super important. I know you're rocking some girth.
It is and it isn't. Like I've asked girls what's the most important thing in this life, and you know, it's a 50-50 split on that one.
Your dick looks like it got stung by a bunch of bees in a halo right around the middle.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those ones that goes up like this and then out and then back in.
Yeah. It's even got a tree knot in it. That's how big it
does.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can store things in it.
And there's like a heart with an R loves S.
Yeah.
Thing in there.
And I've got a tattoo right next to it of Boo Radley's house. So it's got a just a nice tree and then a, you know, hollowed out
tree.
If
you were going to get a tattoo on your dick, what would it be?
I'd get Shaq's dick tattooed on my dick. So that way people could be like, hey man, I wonder how big Shaq's dick is. And I'd be like, oh that's right.
You know,
it's tattooed on my own dick.
That reminds me of one of your buddy's best jokes ever. What's his name? The guy with the podcast that we were just talking about. Why I'm spacing on his name. That scripts his podcast.
Dan Cummins.
Yeah, Dan Cummins. Suck. He tells this joke. It was like in fucking 2003 or something. He was like, I'm going to go get a tattoo all over my body of me, but slightly to the left, and then stand outside of 3D movie theaters and ruin people's lives. It's one of the fucking... I don't know why, but I've never forgot that joke.
By the way, if you don't listen to his podcast, you should Time Suck.
It's, yeah, Time Suck by Dan Cummins.
Fucking A,
super
man.
Funny.
It's crazy. It's super detailed. I think
his latest one was about Albert Fish, the fucking serial killer.
Yeah, he only
so
does like
funny.
One a week, but they're super amazing and intricate and awesome. Anywho's, D'Anthony, this was fun. MyBookie.com, we are back for the year. Sorry? Sorry?
I mean, it works out for us and our fans.
It does, because it, you know, you listen to the show and then you can bet with us. And again, sign up for Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook. It's a private group, but we're always dropping in like last minute tips in there. But for big games, this Warriors game, I'm waiting until a couple hours before betting. But sign up, mybookie.com, the promo code Drinking Bros. We'll double your deposit from 100 all the way to 3,000, and we're back. We're back, brother. We're taking panties this year. Is that, I don't know what that means, but we're taking panties. For D'Anthony Holloway, I am Ross Patterson. We're the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.